Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
What do you call a pizza parlor that has piano-themed pizzas, and the whole pizza parlor is the entire size of the country of Croatia?
A stretch. A stretch. Like an overcomplicated joke is what I'd call it. What would you call it?
Organ donation!
And this is Stranger Still.
Welcome to Stranger Still,
a podcast where we answer questions that you never thought about asking, but then we like thought about it a little harder than you did.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we're smarter.
We're better than you, though.
It does mean we're better.
I'm Nick Wood.
I'm John Vegan.
We're a little squirrely today, which is great because we're talking about something very serious, which is death.
Yeah. Everyone's doing it.
They're dying to get in there.
Eventually.
That's a dad joke. When you drive by a graveyard, you say, people are dying to get in there.
Wow. I'll learn that someday. Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe. So we're going to talk about something a little uncomfortable, which is death, but it gives us the opportunity to talk about something that is amazing, which is organ donation. John?
Yeah, that's me.
Organ donation is a marvel of modern medicine, and if we trusted Himalayan salt lamps and homeopathy and all these dumb things and never moved on, we would not be able to save lives by taking the heart of one person and just sticking it in the heart of another person.
Yeah, but you could take the heart of the chakra of the elder stone.
Uh-huh.
And a line.
Got it.
Right.
John, are you a registered organ donor?
Wow. Right on the spot immediately. Huh?
Yeah. Of course I am.
I think I made that decision when I was little and like didn't. I was like, I'm on the spot. I don't have time to think about this. No. Yeah.
Well, I think so. When I went to go get my learner's permit or something, I think that I wanted to be an organ donor.
Yeah.
And then someone was like, nah, dude, they won't save your life because they'll know you're an organ donor.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Have you ever heard that?
No.
You've never heard that?
Never.
Okay. Well, it'll come back up in this episode, but I don't think I am because of that reason. I just never.
The EMT's son needs a new liver and
yeah.
he takes that tape measure instead of a CPR paddle.
I can't believe you never heard this.
No.
That's like one of the biggest arguments against organ donations. People like, if the doctors find out you're an organ donor, they won't work as hard to save your life.
Wow. That's a bunch of garbage.
It is garbage.
And the earth's flat.
Prove what. So, needless to say, I'm not an organ donor, but I think after this episode, I will be. And here's why, John.
I need a new liver.
That's right. Give me your liver.
Mine's great. I want two.
My liver's actually probably not that great. I take a lot of Dayquil.
Mm.
So, John, 95% of people support organ donation. But do you want to take a guess at how many people are actually signed up to be organ donors?
How many?
Yeah, what percentage of people?
Oh, percentage. Okay. 20?
Higher.
5.
That's the
25. Put it together. What do you get? 25 plus 25? 50%.
Close.
Plus 15.
Lower.
70%.
No.
If you minus 5 from that. 65%.
How about 58%?
Got it on the first try.
Yeah, nailed it. 58% of people are registered organ donors.
Okay.
And even then, only a whopping 0.3% of people die in a way that allows them to donate their organs after they're dead. So luckily, it seems like the average donor is able to give away like 2 to 3 of their organs, but all the way up to 8 organs, it seems, you can transplant from a person. It does go above that, but we'll talk about that in a second. But as a result, only 36,528 organ transplants were performed in 2018, which to me seems like a criminally low number. And I will say these are all in the United States. And as of 2018, there's over 113,000 people on the organ transplant waiting list. Can you see that there's a large difference between those numbers?
Yeah.
And every 10 minutes, another person is added to the waiting list. And every day, 20 people that are on the waiting list die waiting for a transplant.
Yikes.
Right?
Some real guilt-inducing numbers. This is a 30-minute episode. That's 3 more people.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
No, it's not. Thanks for the guilt.
Yeah, you're welcome. We got to start them off fast.
All
right. Luckily, I just wanted to paint a picture of why this is so important, why we're talking about it, and why we saved it for the last episode of the month. There are experts out there that are working on trying to spread information on organ donation to try to increase that 58% of
people. Okay, well, you don't have to call yourself an expert right off the bat.
I'm not an expert, but right. I'm trying to help.
It's a spread expert spreading information. My name's Nick.
Yeah, it's like I was talking into a mirror.
Wow.
But they're trying to close that gap from 58% to 95%. And we'll get into some of the reasons those experts out there think that people don't want to sign up to be a registered donor. But it seems like once people understand the process, they're more likely to donate their organs. So that's what we're doing here, John.
Yeah, because on the surface, those people want to tear your heart out of your body.
Yeah, like in Indiana Jones.
Right.
I used to know what he said during that chant. Now I can't think of it.
Goosefraba?
Galima.
Yeah, Galimad. Galimad. Yeah. With some feta. Fettuccine Alfredo and a Parmesan sauce.
And what's the other thing you always say?
Maybe even like a Parmesan Romano.
That's a new one.
Yeah, that's a little bit of an extra.
The only
like,
Romano
goat
I know
cheese.
Is a Ray.
Mm.
How far back does organ donation go, John?
Ancient Egypt.
That's right, 1869.
Hold on. The Egyptians donated their organs to the gods in vases.
I guess you're right.
Yeah, thanks.
It was more like a donation to themselves. They're trying to take those organs to the afterlife.
And they were like, there's just no room in here.
Yeah.
You got to put it in a travel size pot.
Mm-hmm. It does go a little bit back farther than that. As far back as the 600s BCE. And they were doing things that's called an autograft, which is where you take part of your skin from one area of your body and use it to cover up like an injury or like a nose injury mm-hmm. on another part of your body. And that's great and all, but that's not organ donation. That's from one part of your own body to another part
just
of your own body.
Going 60 miles an hour over here. You're not even going to let me get in an autograph joke.
Okay, go for
it. Okay. No, it's fine. It's gone.
Another opportunity because the opposite of that, or the partner to that, is the homograft, which is where you take an organ or tissue from one person and transplant it to another person. That's like true. Well, I guess it's skin or skin tissue. That's a homograft, and that didn't happen until 1869. When Jacques-Louis Reverdin realized that if you removed...
A little Frencher, please.
Oh, sorry. Baguette! Is that...
Are you French?
Yeah. How could you tell?
Wow.
So he realized if you took that skin that you're trying to transplant to another person and removed a layer of fat, it would heal a lot better. And we had the first successful organ transplant because skin is an organ. So before we can move on to other organs, some smart people were working to figure out why some skin grafts failed. For a long time, that was a problem. And in 1912, George Schoen proposed that it was an immune system reaction, like your body was fighting it off. And people just kind of ignored him. They're like, whatever, you're stupid.
1912?
Yeah.
When was Frankenstein written?
Oh, the 1800s. Now I gotta look this up.
I wonder if that was inspired by like people that have patches of skin on them.
Maybe. Well, autographs were going on for a long time. You know, I didn't even realize the connection there until...
There might not be one. Yeah.
No, there's not a connection. I mean, it's like homophone, though. Frankenstein was 1818, so a long time ago. But over the next 40 years, some scientists learned more about the immune system, and they were like experimenting with transferring tumors from one rat to another. And in 1954, Dr. Joseph E. Murray conducted the first successful human kidney transplant from one identical brother to another. And he received the Nobel Prize for Medicine for it in the year 1990. And then in 1967, we had the first liver transplant by Dr. Thomas Starzl and the first heart transplant by Dr. Christian Barnard. And then in 1968, we had a pancreas transplant. And then how early in our history do you think we had the first computer-assisted organ matching system?
Organ matching system?
Yeah.
Like a database or like
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So it's a database that would take people that needed organs, take all their information,
mm-hmm.
and potential donors and all their information and match up what organs might go from one person to another.
Wow.
I don't know. It's after 1968.
Yeah, I'm going to just picture Clippy coming up and being like...
Do you need help finding an organ? It was 1977, which to me seems way early. Like in the 70s, we had a computer database doing this stuff for us. There's a system called the United Network for Organ Sharing, or UNOS, and it seems like it's still used today. There's a couple other systems out there, but like every hospital is a part of this network, which is great. The first successful single lung transplant was after that in 1983, and then the first double lung transplant was in 1986. And I mean, after that, there's not a whole lot we can do. Like, we transplanted a lot of stuff.
You're incorrect, because I know there's a head transplant coming up.
Yeah, there's head people are trying to transplant heads, faces. They're also experimenting with like uterus and penis transplants, which is like, if they could figure that out, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
But the technology, I mean, it just keeps getting better. That's where all of the advancements after 86 have come in. But that brings us to today. And there's two types of organ donation. Do you know what they are? I bet you can guess.
It's willing crazy. And unwilling.
Well, okay, there's three.
Oh, man. I didn't need two hearts.
Are you a Time Lord? What is that?
Yeah.
You didn't watch Doctor Who. You know what I'm talking about. There's living donation and deceased donation, which that should come as no surprise. Right?
One's a donor and one's not.
Yeah.
It sounds like.
Hmm? One's alive. And one's
well,
alive.
Unless you're reanimating, but.
Yeah. Yeah. We already watched that movie. No, that was. What was that movie? The Genetic Opera? That movie sucked. So.
That's on brand, though.
It is. It's very on brand.
Repo Man.
Repo Man, yeah. I want to give a shout out to organdonor.gov, which is obviously a government funded website, but it has all of the resources you could possibly want on organ donation. I've pulled together a couple different resources to try to simplify the process for everyone out there. But for both processes, there's a wait list. We've already talked about that. And they take the list of criteria and look, like, if you have an organ just sitting around waiting for someone, they take down your blood type, your body size, the size of the organ, the severity of the receiver's medical condition, how long they've been on the waiting list, how close the donor and the recipient are, and whether or not the patient is available for the transplant. Like, they aren't sick or they didn't just, like, miss the call that day, which would suck.
Oh, man.
I'm sure they'd try more than once. I will also say there's this common stigma that rich people are given preferential treatment on the wait list, which isn't true for all of those reasons that I just listed. You have to go through and you have to match blood type, body size. In some cases, it's better to be closer in age. Like, all these things go into it. So people...
And you've got a big difference in how many are available and how many...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the organ has to be close to the people.
I'm sure it has to be near, like fresh, too. Like,
oh, yeah. Incredibly fresh. We'll get into the details a little bit more gruesomely here in a second. But one article described the waiting list more of like a pool than a list, where everyone's just waiting around in the water, waiting for the criteria to be matched, and then they're plucked out of the pool.
Very poetic.
Yeah.
Waiting, yeah.
Yeah. You see what I did there?
I'm digesting it.
More organ jokes. Start playing me a tune.
Yeah, like a church organ. There's another stretch, but I'll give it to you. Yeah,
I'm full of stretches today.
Mm-hmm.
Very relaxed.
Do you stretch your organs out? Okay.
Yep.
Full circle. So, keep going.
I assume that our listeners are alive because they are listening to this. And I'm here to tell you, you might be available.
We're going to get the most creepy listener mail. You don't represent me.
I'm from beyond the grave. Yeah. If you're alive right now, you might be able to donate an organ to someone in need right now. Jonathan?
I'm busy.
Oh.
We have to finish.
So... About 6,000 donations a year are from living donors, and you can donate one of your two kidneys. You can donate, there's two lobes to your liver. You can donate one of the lobes or a part of your lung, pancreas, or intestine, and you'll still be able to live a long, healthy life. You can also donate skin and bone marrow or bones or umbilical cord blood or amniotic fluid or blood, which is not an organ, but maybe one of the most common donations that people do.
I do twice a week for like a year. Donate plasma for immune disorders.
Yeah, exactly. They do recommend that you be between the ages of 18 and 60 and to have never had diabetes, cancer, or high blood pressure, or kidney disease, or heart disease, mostly because that can cause like scarring on the organs. But there are organs that you can still donate if you have diabetes, cancer, high blood pressure.
Yeah, those doctors are real sticklers. Like, oh, it has a dent. Can you take $20 off?
They're trying to negotiate it down like a used car salesman.
Yeah, geez.
So there's no monetary compensation for being a living donor, but there are organizations like the National Living Donor Assistance Center that can help pay for travel, lodging, and meals throughout the whole process. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to pay out of pocket for that. And it also helps to know that living organ donations have a much higher success rate than organs from cadavers, and the recipients live longer, healthier lives. So if you have the opportunity to be a living donor, it might be worth it. Just saying.
I feel like there should be charities that pay people to do this, and that's what the discrepancy is.
I don't know. That gets squeamish to me.
I know it gets squeamish, but if it worked, don't you think, like,
yeah,
I guess cool. Covering travel costs and stuff like that is good enough, but the fact that there's these people that, like, is it a phrase apropos of nothing? Will that make me sound cool? Apropos of nothing.
Do you want me to edit that part out where you ask me if it...
Don't. No. I want them to feel the process.
Oh, okay.
They just, like, do this. Like, that's the most selfless thing. That's so great.
Most people, like, wait until their uncle needs a kidney or something, but you could just go out and do it. There's also, like, for bone marrow transplants, there's, like, you can send in, like, saliva samples to companies, and they'll tell you if you are a good match for someone that needs bone marrow. So that's, like... Yeah. That's super. You should do that because it's not like it's not giving one.
I don't know if I want to send my saliva. Like, I'd rather just so send a dangerous. Picture of my teeth.
Yeah.
And say, like, I brush my skeleton every day. It's got very good condition.
Skeletal fluorosis.
It's got delicious filling.
Yeah.
Marrow filling. GUI Center.
Gross. So, unfortunately, the remaining 30,000 organ donations a year do come from cadavers. Yeah. And like I said, only 3 out of 1,000 donors can actually donate their organs. And that's because there's even more criteria that you have to meet in order for those organs to be transplanted. For instance, we joke, but the organ can't be damaged or infected.
Right.
And if the person died in a way that damaged a donatable organ, they just can't use it. They also have to be able to keep the organs alive after the brain has died, after the brain has reached brain death. And if they can't do that, they won't be able to use that person as a donor. And due to these tight restrictions, most of the donors will have died from some sort of illness or head trauma, like an aneurysm or a stroke, not usually like a car crash or something like that. And there's this great article on Tonic from Vice that actually laid out this process of deceased organ donation really well. So I'm kind of adopt their layout here. I am summarizing it, though. So first, also contrary to popular belief, the first step of the process is the doctors try to keep you alive. And if they can't, it's not on purpose.
Yeah.
They don't see your ID and they're like, oh, they're an organ donor. Let's just let this person flatline.
Got a Chipotle gift card in their wallet. Like, come on.
I won't be able to use that if they're alive. That got dark. So the donor... Or the doctors will determine if the donor has ceased all brain function and has undergone brain death and make sure there's no activity in the brain stem or anything like that. A lot of people's concerns are, what if I'm in a coma? What if I'm not actually dead and they say I'm dead? They have...
See, that's, I think, like the mentality I had when I was 15.
Yeah.
Because that's when you make this decision.
I mean, I even had friends when I was like 21 that were like, I'm afraid of being buried alive. And I'm like, the chances of that happening in today's world are next to zero.
Yeah.
But they have plenty of tests they can do to ensure that the brain is in fact dead. And they also have to bring in 2 third-party doctors to pronounce you dead before they can move on with the process. So I think that squashes both myths here that the doctors will like say you're dead. There's these third-party doctors coming in.
Man, that's... And again, like, I know how it works because I've known friends now that are doctors. Uh-huh. And like, just to be on call to just pronounce someone dead, that's got to be like, man.
You're not waking up happy every morning. Let's
you could
that.
Be. I guess you separate it. It's just got to be such strength.
Mm-hmm. So once they've pronounced brain death, they'll put the donor on life support and move into action after that. They'll perform a biopsy on every single donatable organ of the body to see which ones are viable to be donated. They feed that data into the UNOS system, which you mentioned from back in 1977. It works with all the criteria and finds the best candidate. And if they find a good candidate, they'll extract the organ. And they have to move really quickly because the heart can only survive 4 to 6 hours outside the body. That's the same with the lungs. The liver can last 8 to 12 hours. The pancreas can last 12 to 18 hours. The kidneys can last 24 to 36 hours. And the intestines can last 8 to 16 hours.
It means nothing to me. Can you convert that to movie marathons? Which one of them watched the Star Wars trilogy, the original?
The liver.
Okay. Wow, that's a long time.
The kidneys can last the Lord of the Rings trilogy special edition.
Okay.
With all the bonus scenes.
that's incredible that we have that ability.
It is. I mean...
And when you're saying survive, how... I mean, I want to know about the packing and transport.
Well, they just put it, literally they put it on ice. They put it on ice in a cooler and they transport it that way.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Isn't that crazy?
That's, yeah.
Yeah. There can be some complications once they, I mean, once they get it to the donor, they put it in the body, just like with any normal surgery. There can be some complications, like the body can reject the transplant, so they'll watch the patient closely afterward, make sure that everything is good. And the best part is it costs nothing to the donor's family, and more often than not, the body will still be in good condition to have a traditional funeral,
yeah.
Which apparently is two more major concerns that people have when becoming an organ donor.
Oh, man. Like, it's, you're not filled with formaldehyde anyway.
Right, exactly. You're going to be stuck underground or burned alive. Burned alive? Burnt to a crisp, yeah. I think is what I meant to say. And the registered donor's wishes legally can't be trumped by their family. So if the family's like, no, we don't want to give away his lungs. If the person's a registered donor, the family can't trump that.
Yeah. Can you not use that language?
I'm sorry. The family can't
overcome, make the decision to change your
Mike
mind.
Can't Mike Pence that.
Thank you. It's not much better.
So you might be sitting there thinking, I'm not likely a good donor. You gave all those criteria before. I'm a smoker. I have certain types of cancer. I'm old. I'm diabetic. But the good news is that is not true.
Yeah, what, are you trying to get out of jury duty?
Yeah. There are a lot of things that you can donate that aren't affected by those things. So after you die, you can donate your liver, kidney, pancreas, heart, lung, and intestine. We've already mentioned those. But you can also donate your cornea, your middle ear. You can donate skin, bone, and bone marrow after you've died. Heart valves, and connective tissue.
Cornea, jeez.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I don't know why that stuck to me. And then I'm like...
Because it's so small,
right? I wonder if... Yeah. Someone could get my eyeball and they'll be colorblind because I'm missing rods and cones.
That's true. Never thought about that. But we've talked about some of the stigmas that people have against organ donation and, like, what if I'm not actually dead? What if the doctors don't try to save me as well because they know I'm a donor? Luckily, I think our audience knows that those are both false by now.
Yeah.
Do you think they need more convincing?
I don't know. I, the only thing on my mind now, and I'm trying not to get dark. I mean, uh-huh. I mean, we're trying to keep this fun and teach at the same time.
Yeah.
But do you ever think we're going to get to a point where we could do it for fun? Like we could switch eyeballs so you could see what it's like to be colorblind and stuff?
Dude, I wish we could. That'd be so... Because I'm so curious.
For a weekend?
Yeah. I'm so curious to know like what other people
see. I want
to
see what colors look like, yeah. You know?
There are scientists out there working on like... I don't know how the hell they would do it, but they are trying to find ways to capture what the eyes see and process through the brain so you can see how other people see things.
Yeah.
Which would be nuts.
And then GoPro is going to sell it.
Of course.
Probably.
Got to put it up on YouTube.
Like...
Do it for the Vine.
Yeah.
So there are tangible cons.
Someone made that joke 30 years ago and said, a little bird told me. Yeah, whatever you say, David Twitter,
yeah.
You idiot.
Yeah. And then it was...
Yeah.
I mean,
that's how things happen.
To found MySpace.
Right. You get my joke.
Yeah. So there are some tangible cons that I want to get to on organ donation because it's not all peaches and cream. Like since the donor's body is kept on life support, some people view this as prolonging the family's suffering.
Yeah.
Because then the body's not like, it's not dead. You can't properly grieve by putting it in a grave or anything like that.
Not only that, but you have to go in the room and say, I'm sorry they're dead, but we need to move them quickly because we have to save another life.
Yeah. And that sucks.
Yeah.
Right? It'd suck to have to go through. Also, 1 out of 10 transplant recipients develop diabetes for some reason.
Wow.
And there's, just like any other surgery, it can come with complications like infection, blood clots, etc. Overall, I think organ donation is super cool. It's like one of the coolest things that we've done with science.
Yeah.
And as soon as we can transplant heads and stuff, it's going to be nuts.
I don't remember the
situation.
Yeah, for real. I know there was a quadriplegic that was looking forward to something like that because he didn't have long and someone was going to donate their body.
Yeah. Isn't that nuts?
It's just nuts that you like, you just plug every, you just connect everything.
Yeah. So before we go to break, I have a few more myths that I want to dispel because there's also people out there that are worried that doctors are going to sell their organs on the black market. And there is a black market for organs.
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah. But by and large, they come from willing donors, like people willing to sell their kidneys on Craigslist. I wish I was joking.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of these black market organs come from.
Well, you want to watch 4K, you got to get there somehow.
Yeah, got to get that new smart TV. There's also, there are people that traffic organs illegally, but they are usually con artists tricking people into giving up their organs. And in some rare cases, doctors will say that you have some sort of ailment, undergo surgery.
How do you trick some? What is it, like, I got your nose?
I have no idea.
For real?
By this. Yeah. It's like, oh, your uncle needs a kidney, and then they take it out. And then,
wait, I don't have an uncle.
I don't have any uncles. Yeah. I only have aunts. And then in some cases, those doctors will undergo surgery after telling you have a made-up illness, and they'll remove an organ and then sell it on the black market. But the distinction I want to make here is that all of these scenarios are not post-mortem. They're all while the person's still alive.
Yeah.
So it's not after you die, they're going to take all 8 donatable organs out of your body and sell
them. And, like, come on. Just, like, if you have the choice between going to organdonation.com or Craigslist, maybe do a Google search and weigh the differences.
Yeah. There are also people out there that think it's against their religion, which go talk to your, like, local priest or whoever you subscribe to figure out. But Catholicism, Islam, most of Judaism, and Protestant sects believe organ donation is an act of love and kindness, and they don't frown upon it at all.
Awesome.
So, and I addressed this before, but that myth that rich people get organ donations first, so, like, why even try? But that's basically impossible. And the best part is a computer doesn't care how rich you are.
Yeah.
So they're
going to
match. Yeah, exactly. They're just going to match you up with whoever's most needed.
Mm-hmm.
So to recap, there are some risks, but I think those outweigh the good. And after the break, I think that I will officially register as an organ donor. What do you think?
In real time.
In real time.
It's going to take 20 minutes. You're going to hear him type.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, my caps lock was on.
I'm not going to edit anything out.
Yeah.
Not even my driver's license.
I'm going to text with the sound on, so you can hear on my phone.
Let's go to break real fast, my friend.
Okay.
John, how are you doing, bud?
I'm pretty good. Yeah. Like a 1 to 10. I'm like at a, like a 8.5.
You know what I think would take that up to a 9?
What would that be?
If people went to our Facebook page,
mm-hmm,
and left us a like or whatever you do on that. I don't even know.
I think you have to write a post.
Oh, yeah. Write a post, link some articles. Also, leave us a review on iTunes. That'd be super cool. You know what would take it up to a 10, my friend John?
What's that? What's a 10? I want
to
get there.
If they went to patreon.com / flying machine,
right,
or flyingmachine.network, and looked into maybe kicking a few bucks our way each month.
Wow. How do you like my acting? I was trying to play coy.
When you do that,
yeah,
you get, if you give us $1 a month, you get
access to live streams.
Yep. Access to live streams, exclusive posts and stuff. Recently, Ryan's been putting out his blog posts early we talked about last or 2 weeks ago, his music blog posts. He's been putting those out early. And then for $5 a month, you get bonus episodes from every single show on the network once every month.
Right. Which is like pretty
up on a year.
Dang good.
And that's a lot, dude.
And that's something that we talked about this month, was if silicone breast implants will last longer than human body.
Yeah.
As well as a story that Nick had where he told us why a store didn't sell condoms.
Yeah, and
they weren't for you. They were from the frantic man running up and down the aisle.
Yeah.
So if you want to hear that, you can support us and check it out.
You get to hear the tales of awkward teenage Nick Wood and his friend Josh.
Mm-hmm.
But while you're over at flyingmachine.network, you should probably check out some of the other shows on the network, like Divisive Issues. They just did a bunch of stuff on, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They did a month long of Captain Marvel to prep for the Captain Marvel. And I think that it's a really good time to jump on board and learn some stuff about.
Did they prep for the Captain Marvel, or did they prep for the Captain Marvel movie?
The Captain
Marvel.
Okay,
that's what I thought. Yeah. So it's pretty exclusive.
Yeah. But recently they did like a look at the MCU. I think it's like the perfect time for that, right before Endgame. So hop on board with that, because Endgame is what, next month?
Wow, I didn't know that.
Is it April? Oh, hang on. Is it April 9th?
I never looked it up. I just keep seeing trailers.
I keep thinking it's April 9th, but that's like a Wednesday. Hang on.
Why would you know that?
Because I thought it was April 26th. So we have a little bit of time, but it's still like in between Captain Marvel and Endgame. Perfect time to reflect on it.
I'll be a year older than too, Nick.
Yeah.
And for my birthday, I want you, the listener, to sign up for Patreon and give me your money.
Oh, dude, the other thing that happens when you sign up for Patreon is you get the MC Universe. which is Justin and Malcolm, the leaders of this network, going through every movie in the MCU and dissecting them. And it's great.
In the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, MCU, that's what I said.
I know, but come on.
Just in case people don't know.
In English.
Enough about that, John. It's time to donate my organs.
Okay, I mean, yeah, sign up.
I'm going to sign up. So you can sign up if you want to do this, if you want to follow along at home. You can go to your local DMV as you're getting your license or your ID. Or you can go to organdonor.gov. There's a few states that you can do it right on their website. And if you can't do it on their website, they redirect you to the site where you can.
Which is Craigslist.com.
Yeah. So for me, I had to go to iowadonornetwork.org. And we're going to put in some details here, John.
What kind of questions are they asking you?
They're asking me my first.
Do they ask about your diet? Do I get like extra special credit for being vegan?
I don't think so. They actually don't.
My organs are grass-fed.
It says right here, no more vegan. In Iowa, because
okay,
we're all meat eaters all right. here.
Yeah, fine. But I am grass fed, so keep that in mind.
All it's asked for.
I'm
so
free
far,
range too, actually.
you're cage free. Let's be honest.
Okay.
I love that marketing on eggs where they say cage free, like that's supposed to be as good as free range, but it's definitely not. So far, it's only asked for my name, my address, my city, my phone number, my state-issued ID number, mm-hmm. which I have to get out of my wallet.
Social
here.
Security.
No, not yet.
If you could just say that out loud. What's last for your mom's social?
I don't know my mom's
her
social
maiden
security.
Name?
I do know her maiden okay. name, and it's a question on here. I'm putting in my email address.
Wonderful. Wow. Yeah. Am I supposed to like, comment,
yeah, if you
narrate
could, like,
this?
Vamp, that would be great. No, I'm making everyone sit through this to show them how easy it is.
Are vampires organ receivers?
No, they don't die, you idiot.
Is blood an organ?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Should I don't? Oh, so now it's asking me.
But do vampires play organs?
All the time.
Okay.
Every waking moment.
Like spooky.
They can't even go to the grocery store because they're always playing organs.
Yeah.
So I put in my birthday. I put in my mother's maiden name. And it's asking me for research or transplant. So I can say put my body toward research only, transplant only, or both. Which should I do, John?
Both, dude.
Right? I think so. Am I doing this in honor of someone? No, I'm not. In honor of my podcast.
Wow, dude.
In honor of all of our listeners, John.
Wait. Does it let you put a name in?
Let me see if I hit yes. Yes, it does.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Wow. Whose rep do you want to boost? Who needs a nice little boost? And
Kanye
the,
might need some.
I don't know. He's a little
PR.
He's a little controversial right now. Maybe we could go with like a.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah, he seems pretty cool.
Nah, he dated an anti-vaxxer.
Oh crap. Let's say no.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say no. Now, is this a direct donation? A direct donation means that you personally know someone on the wait list and wish your organs, tissues, and or eyes to be gifted to them. No, I don't. I actually don't know anyone on the list. Iowa law allows minors to register with the understanding that parents and legal guardians will have the final decision in regards to donation. That's a good caveat.
That's
to the
weird.
Point I
mean,
before.
I don't even think we have a big mining industry in Iowa, but okay.
Yeah,
I'm glad they're included.
On the East Coast, right? How did you hear about us? How did I hear about them?
Did you have the research for a podcast? Because someone put it on a question.
There is other.
You should plug our podcast in that answer.
Okay, here.
Well, actually, it was on facebook.com/group/strangerscell.
My full name.
Okay. Nicholas
Parcheesi
Patrick.
Wood. Oh, I like Parcheesi better. All right, I'm going to hit submit registration.
Was that it, really?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
How long did that take? Less than 4 minutes. I've joined the 1,818,028 Iowans who have committed to giving the gift of life.
And folks, it is that easy to trick someone to be an organ donor. All you gotta do is start a podcast with them.
It's been 2 years in the making.
Right.
Yeah. So if you're feeling so kind,
mm-hmm.
consider joining me as an organ donor.
Right.
Who cares what happens to your body after
and
you
now,
die,
Nick,
right?
You do have, you do not drink, right? You've never drank before?
Correct.
So your liver's probably top condition, right?
Well, I said before I take a lot of DayQuil, so
okay, well, hey, I don't know if there's anything in that that's going to be negative, but are you feeling sleepy with that drink I gave you, or?
You know.
Okay. Right. Perfect liver. Never drank in his life.
Here, take one of my lobes.
Yeah. The fact that I have a liver lobe is I'm just learning new things about my body every day. Can you believe we discovered a new organ a year or two ago? Do you remember that article?
Which one?
The one that said we discovered a new organ a year or two ago?
Yeah, it was like in a warehouse somewhere.
No.
They thought it was lost
it was
to
like,
World War II.
Well, this is real. It was like
I know.
Under the abs.
Yeah. Let me look. New organ.
It was like the plasma TV layer or something. It was like the
body. Let's figure out what this is. Scientists found a, quote, new organ, but it might not be what you're expecting.
Wow. Click it. Click it.
I did.
Click it. Hook it.
Oh, boy.
Reel
this
it
is
in.
A lot. This
That's
is
some
a
good
lot
bait.
Of stuff.
This is a different episode.
It's
We're not going to do this.
Interstitium.
Interstitium.
The network of tissue.
That's good enough for people to look
this
up on
thing
their...
telling me to turn off ad blocker popped up.
Okay.
You think I'm going to turn off ad blocker? Nope. So I'm not using your website. Congratulations, popular science.
Wow.
More like nerdular nerdins.
Wow, you got them good.
Yeah.
Now we're never going to have a guest on there.
Strong bad joke, but okay.
Okay.
I'm still Nick.
I'm still Jonathan.
And this is Stranger Still a Thin.
Yeah.